the book of Exodus, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And it says here in verse 1, 12:1 of Exodus, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes of your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy when I smite the land of Egypt." And we think about this, and the title I had, or I just come up with a title, The Power in the Blood, how powerful that blood is when we see that. And when God laid out the outline of exactly what he wanted, if you don't want, about the firstborn, about how to do where he says, "I will pass over you when I see the blood." You know, it's like that song, "When I see the blood," you know, he said, I will pass over you. You know, God is bringing a judgment upon Egypt. You know, the blood of the lamb must be applied to the doorposts of their houses or homes. Therefore, when the death angel sees the blood, he will pass over. But, you know, we think about power of the blood, you know. You know, what Jesus Christ, you know, the example of him, and what his blood represent, and how powerful his blood is, and to all, you know, especially those that are saved, you know, how powerful that Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and how he brought us out of darkness. And here in verse 21, on down to verse 21, and we saw what happened, you know, it says, "Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and to the two sides posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of at that door of the house until the morning. For the Lord shall pass... For the Lord will pass through to smite Egyptians when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side post. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and unto thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according to as he hath promised, ye shall keep this service. And first, we'll go on down to verse 29. It says, and it came to pass, and at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. You think about Pharaoh, you know, God continued to harden his heart, and all the things that Moses kept telling him about, let my people go, and he kept hardening his heart. And then when the Lord sat here and revealed to Moses what needed to be done and what was going to happen, but they didn't believe, you know, and Pharaoh lost his first son. But how do we apply this to our day and time? You know, we can learn a lot from the book of from the Old Testament. What Christ has done for us upon the cross, the family lamb is slain, as a reminder that Jesus was the lamb who sacrificed for us all. And as the blood of the lamb must be applied to the doorpost of the house, so also is Jesus' blood is applied to our hearts. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. And the first point I come up with is how powerful this blood is, and what does the blood of Jesus has the power to satisfy. If we look in the book of Colossians chapter 1, sometimes I have a hard time saying that word. And Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, who hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the kind of power that Jesus, what he can do with his blood. When he shed his blood, when he died for whosoever will, when he died for me, you know, I nailed him to the cross. And when he died and shed his blood, and he's the one that saved my unworthy soul. I wasn't even worthy of that. But in over in the book of Ephesians, and I got several scriptures, and just bear with me. I just want to show out some points here this evening. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. We might be kind of flip-flopping back and forth on this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He said, in whom, or verse 6, so this is to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, and wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. You know, I think about his when God first saved me, and I think about how, you know, I always ask that question. I probably told this story 100 times, how I ended up here. You know, never went to church, never was brought up in church, couldn't care less about church back then. Had a grandmother that pushed me to go to church with her, and she was with another false church. You know, the only times I went a couple of times, you know, and you hear him guys, you know, hollering, screaming, slapping, jumping up and down. That was enough for me. I sat on the floor. That's all I could deal with. But it just amazes me how God has a plan for my life, from where I came from and how I ended up here. God uses people, places, and things and circumstances to get your attention. You know, because I was asked, you know, said, you know, you from Eastern Kentucky, how'd you end up here? And I said, it's all of God. It's all of him, because I have to give him all the credit. You know, and he's, it just blows my mind how that happened. But how God can save through his blood, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that is powerful. You know, we think of Adam, book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. You don't have to turn back there, but I kind of paraphrase this, you know, Adam, he was, you know, God told him, you know, I place you in this garden, you're allowed to do this, but don't touch this, don't eat of this fruit, or you'll die. You know, and then that, when that, all that that happened in the garden, you know, that's when Adam, and when they began to die, you know, sin, since the penalty as for sin, or the sins is the penalty for the sin, or sin of death, and the blood had to be shed. And it amazes me how what God does through His Word, as He said, or He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, and He hath abounded towards us the wisdom and prudence. And then on verse 11, it said, in whom we also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The eternal security of the believer of that verse, you can't lose your salvation. That's how powerful God's blood is. You know, I had a lady at work in the past argue with me, said you can lose your salvation. And I'm like, how? I mean, you can get out of God's will, but how are you going to lose that? How are you going to lose your salvation? I said, the only way you can say if you say you lose your salvation, you probably never had it to start with. You know, and it amazes me when you share truth how upset people get. And I said, I didn't write the book. You know, I didn't write it. It's right here. You read it. She said, well, you can lose your salvation. I said, well, you can believe what you want to. I believe what I can show you from God's word. That's between you and God. You know, and at the workplace, you'll run into a lot of different people. Trust me, you'll be surprised of people. You'll have some will argue with you. Some that will make fun of you, all that good, you know, all that stuff, you know. That's what, you know, the world does, you know, because God said they're going to persecute you. What you stand up for, God's going to, you know, you're going to face persecution. I mean, I'm sure what we see here in the United States, we probably don't know half the stuff that's going on, you know, people, the churches are being persecuted, especially worldwide, you know. It just amazes me. You know, God says we're, you know, I believe we're living in the last days, and, you know, God says that's going to happen. Then, you know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, whereas He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You know, and like I say, I share those scriptures with people, but they look at me, you know, you're crazy. You know, they go, well, I can't. You said, you're just reading a bunch of words out of a book written by a bunch of men. I said, well, it was inspired by men of God, and they were led by God to write down what needed to be written down. And they said, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. You know, if it weren't for Jesus Christ willing to sacrifice what He has done. Number two, the blood of Jesus has power to reconcile us to God. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, which we're kind of flip-flopping back, chapter 1, verse 20, he said, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, and by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, and yet now hath ye reconciled in the body of His flesh through the death, and to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable reprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of God, of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made minister, but having made peace through the blood of the cross, through the blood of the cross, that's how powerful to reconcile us, and only through Jesus Christ. And then if you read verses 13 and 14, he says, who hath delivered us, in the same book of chapter 1, verse Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And that's what the blood of Christ does. And over in the book of Romans, chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3. Book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 25. He said, whom God hath set forth to be appropriation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for what? The remission of sins. You know, that's how powerful Jesus Christ is. His blood is reconciled. Bring you closer to, only through Christ is the only way you can get to the Father. You know, I've run into a lot of people who say, well, I talk to God every day. You know, y'all talk about this Jesus Christ, you know. You know, what's he got to do with it? I said, what's his son? He sent his only begotten son into this world. He took upon the form of that flesh, and he lived a perfect life. He set that example and died. He said, I don't believe that. And I was like, well, let me show you. So I showed him. But, you know, I can't convince him and make him believe, or, you know, It's between them and God. Only God's, he's the only one, he's in the saving business. And all we can do is take the message to them and just tell them about Jesus Christ. And that's all we can do. He does the saving. We just turn it over to the Lord, because he does the saving. And that's how powerful he is. And sometimes I never couldn't understand that. Sometimes, you know, I thought, you know, you think, well, why can't people understand it? You know, they're lost, they're dead. Only God can open their eyes. When that Spirit of God bears witness with them, they'll make him alive. But you can't convince goats. You know, you know those that are dead. You know, all you can do is to share the Word of God and pray that God He'll work the Word in their hearts prick their hearts make them alive. And number three here, I got, it's called the blood of Jesus has the power to wash away the sins. And that's here I just read. I kind of got ahead of myself book of Romans here, chapter 3, verse 25, in whom God had set to be an appropriation through faith in his blood to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins. But he said over here in the book of 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. He said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which is ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment that I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you because of the darkness. He that saith he is in the light, he hateth his brother, and is in the darkness even until now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, you know, it's nothing new. You know, I think, I don't know what pastor I heard. He said if it's new, it's probably not true. And if it's true, it's nothing new. And I don't know what pastor I've heard say that, but that's a true statement. You know, all we're doing is telling the old story. You know, I mean, it's been people preaching the gospel for years and years and years, and they said, well, how, you know, you say this God's going to come and redeem us and take us out of here. I don't know when that time will be. I mean, it could be tomorrow, it could be this evening, it could be 10 years from now, 100 years from now, I don't know. That's God's business. But our business, you know, that he tells us, you know, in the book of Matthew, you know, go in all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we need to be doing. And but the power of Jesus' blood washes away the sins. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost, I like this scripture. He said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. If Jesus Christ was not willing to shed his blood, if he was not willing to sacrifice his life, it'd be pointless to meet tonight. We'd be hell bound, and you know, and a lot of people, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, saying, well, if I die, you know, and I end up in hell, we're going to party, and we're going to have a great time, and, you know, we're going to just do all this. And I said, I hate to break the bad news to you, but hell is going to be a place of torment. I said, if you just had a glimpse, and just get a glimpse of what hell is going to be like. And but they just, the world, I mean, that's what the world wants to show you. There's nothing wrong. They want you to go out and get drunk or mess with dope or all this stuff. It won't hurt you, you know. You know, everybody does it. That's what I always hear. You know, everybody does it. You know, I think about my grandkids, or you think about your grandkids. Just think about people that are around. You know, it's like, who's going to introduce them, you know, to drinking or drugs or whatever it may be? You never know that. I mean, my folks, half the stuff that was done to me, I've had people try to give me drugs, try to introduce me to drugs and all that. That's one thing I never could stand. I just never did, because I seen what it did to people. There's people that I went to school with, the guy took a whole family out because he decided to drink one night, driving on the wrong side of the highway, and hit them head on and killed the whole family. You know, I mean, you know, that stuff are, you know, drugs, I mean. You see it on the news. You see it everywhere. It's just what it does to people. And, you know, it's like smoking, you know. It's like my mom. She smoked probably majority of her life. I usually give her a hard time about smoking, you know, because I could not stand the smell of cigarettes. It's just something that just about killed me. But I used to take, she would take, she'll have a pack of cigarettes on her, and I'll pull two or three out, crumble them, and throw them in the trash. And then one day, I think she caught on what I was doing, and she got really mad at me. She said, don't be doing that no more. And she said, I'll quit when I feel like quitting. And I said, well, I'm trying my best to stop you, and I'll do what I can. I throw packs of cigarettes away she didn't even know about, you know. She probably did know, but maybe not, but... But anyways, I kind of get off my subject here, but trying to be, you know, this world has nothing to offer, but Jesus Christ does. Jesus' blood atones for our sins. When God's justice is satisfied, our sins are completely forgiven, and we are no longer guilty. As Christians, we no longer walk in condemnation. because according to the scripture, there is no condemnation for those who have placed their faith in Christ. Let's go over the, it's a familiar portion of scripture, well, I don't probably know it. I use the scripture a lot. John chapter 5, verse 24. I like reading it over and over and over. I can quote it, but I like turning to it and reading it. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, he says, you hear, and he says, and believeth on him that sent me, and he says, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into what condemnation, but you're passed from death unto life. He's saying, well, and I told this person at work, I said, if you believe that scripture and you believe that Jesus Christ did that for you, he'll save you. And he'll save you, and if you hear the word, and if you believe on him that hath sent me, you hath everlasting life. And you have it right now. That's where the person that argued with me on it, she said, you can lose that. You cannot have that everlasting life. I told her she was wrong. I said, I can show you from God's word here. He says you hath, H-A-T-H, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. We're going to face, if you're saved, you're going to have troubles in your life. God says, life is short and full of trouble. We're all going to have problems, whatever it may be, financially, health, you never know. Because we're still in this old sinful body. We're still, we can't do nothing about it, every day it seems like I got new aches and pains every day I wake up. And my wife laughs at me because every time I get up, you can hear my knees, both knees are cracking and popping before I get going, or my ankles, But, this old body's falling apart. And the last point here, the blood of Christ overcomes the enemy. We'll go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, the familiar portion of scripture. So if I find it here. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. And what did God say? He said, and ye masters, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He tells us how to stand, make that stand, because we're going to face that. And all we got to do is keep staying in the Word of God, depend upon Him every day, and ask the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us through this time of trouble. Because we're living in the last days. And I'm going to share this last 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to close out with this. Just a familiar portion of Scripture. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that and apply that into your heart, you and God will save you if you believe. This is the gospel. This is what we should be sharing every day, is the Word of God. And it's all the blood. The power of the blood is Jesus Christ, what He can do for me and you. And I pray that this little lesson was a blessing, and we'd be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day.